Hallelujah. The Bible lets us know that if he sees a sparrow, when it falls, how much more does he see his children when they're in distress? Hallelujah. I'm glad to know that tonight. I'm just glad to know that he knows what I'm going through, where I've been and where I'm headed. Hallelujah. If he'll take care of the birds of the air, surely he'll take care of man that he gave life to in his own image. Oh, be encouraged tonight that God knows right where you're at. While you're standing, I want to go to the book of 1 Peter 5 and 8 and verse through 11. Oh, Lord. Thank you for visiting us tonight. Anybody that's visiting, if you come more than once, I count you. Come twice, I call you a member here, so be careful. Amen. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, somebody may be in the suffering stage, make you perfect. Somebody may be in the perfecting stage. He may establish you. Somebody may be in the establishing phase. And then there is the strengthening phase. And then there is the settling phase. Hallelujah. That you may be settled. I don't know about you, but I like settled people. Them old timers say, we're going to settle here. Brother, when they settled there, they planted trees. They got a garden going. They dug for water because they didn't plan on moving. I like settled people. I like people settled. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Be sober, be vigilant. There's a lion that's roaring out there, but the dominion belongs to him. The dominion belongs to him. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm so thankful for your word. I'm so thankful that it, above all things, is everlasting, so that if we can ask in your will that whatever we ask, it shall be done. And Lord, I believe tonight if someone would just speak the word, hallelujah, in faith, that whatever they ask would be done because they'll ask in your will. Glory to God. Have your way here tonight as we endeavor and explore your word in new avenues as you reveal it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to preach from this title tonight, Until the Enemy Roars. Until the Enemy Roars. I want to use an excerpt out of the life of a great and a weak man called Samson. He was both strong and yet he was weak. And I thank God, once again, he gives us both sides of the story of the characters that he uses in the Bible. If all he showed me was a strong Elijah who called down fire out of heaven, and he didn't show me the cave and how he hid and how he had weaknesses, then when I get like that, I would think something is terribly wrong. I must have messed up. I must not be living with God. I must not be saved. And even when I look at Samson, I see how mighty he was. I get to also see how weak he was and what deceived him, so that I can learn from these strengths and these weaknesses that these Bible characters has. For the Bible says that all of these were given as an ensample or an example to us. So I thank God for the life lessons we can learn from these people. So I want to look at the life of Samson, and as we look at this one little phase of his life, we're not going to look at his whole life, this one phase, and we will discover in the very beginning that Samson's parents, it started out with dedicated parents. That's right. Samson's life and his walk with Christ, or God, if you will, would start out because a parent, two parents, were dedicated to God. And the woman took the vow before Samson did. She took a Nazarite vow as well unto God. It was slightly different from the man than it was the woman, maybe perhaps in the hair, but it was basically the same vow of dedicating their life to God, and she dedicated her child to God or to the service of the Lord. And Samson was known by his Nazarite vow. And I don't know how old Samson was before he knew his great strength. Sometimes I've wondered, and perhaps you have, I wonder when Jesus knew that he was Jesus. You know, that I wonder when it was that he knew he was the Savior of the world. At what age? Because he was just like us. He was tempted. He was a little boy like us, you know, little girls. And so I wondered at what age did his mother go, you know, you better not show anybody that, Jesus, because you show people that, he's going to mess them up. You better not. And even when his mother must have known something, because at that feast, she said, just do what he says. And Jesus said, my time, what if I do with thee, woman? My time has not yet come. So there must have been some knowledge here of what was going on in the backyard, if you will, inside the fence. And I don't know at what age Samson was when he began to realize how strong he was, but I know the event that made it manifest. That's right. You will never know how strong you are until the lion roars. And we look at Judges 14 and 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, where he knows there's a lady down there, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, while they're on their way, a young lion roared against Samson. As they're traveling down this journey, and it's obvious his mother and his father, you will see, are not there, but he's on his way maybe to see his sweetheart. I don't know. But this lion, the king of the jungle, if you will, gets out in the road or in his path and roars out, not just a roar as he ran off, he roared out against him, meaning I am going to embrace you in battle. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid or a small goat. And he had nothing. I don't think he had time to get anything in his hands. He had nothing in his hand, and he told not his father and his mother what he had done. And I realized as I read this passage of Scripture that it wasn't until the lion roared that Samson fully realized what God was doing in his life. If the lion had not roared, then the Spirit of the Lord would have never come on him mightily. He would have just been taking vows and making promises for almost seeming like nothing. And he told his father and mother nothing. My father and mother never knew everything either. And yours didn't either. Don't act like I was deceiving them. Yours didn't either. The key to this man's knowledge, Samson's knowledge, that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him was only made manifest in the face of a roaring lion. And when the lion roared against him, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came mightily. Now, let me tell you, he wasn't facing a kitty cat. If he was facing a kitty cat, he would not have needed the Spirit of the Lord to come mightily on him. He could have probably kicked him with his own strength. But what he was facing was mightier than his flesh. So he needed the Spirit of the Lord to come on him equal and greater power than the thing he was facing. How many of you have ever faced something in your life, if God don't come to my rescue, hallelujah, if it not been the Lord who was on my side when men rose up against me, they would have swallowed me up quick. But when they come up against me, they stumbled and they fell. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know, but I didn't know until the lion roared. And then I realized God was with me. You know that God is with you when you can take nothing in your hands and kill a lion. The odds were certainly not. Vegas would have had it 1,000,000 to 1 that this man could conquer the lion. And it perhaps looked, now listen close, because it perhaps looked, because I don't know how old he is, but the Bible says he took these Nazarite vows, his mother did, from the womb. So I don't know how old he is. Let's call it 20. Don't know. But for 20 years, he's living by these vows. He's dressing right. He's looking right. He's eating right. And he's spitting white. He's doing everything he's supposed to do. But right now, it don't look like it's paying off. Living for God sometimes doesn't look like it pays off. David's chief musician, Asaph, said, I envied the wicked and the prosperity that they had until I went into the house of the Lord and I saw their end. Then I said, Lord, surely you set them in slippery places. But he was envious until he saw their end. And sometimes it looks like living for God is not paid off. You know why you think that? The lion hadn't roared. The lion hasn't roared. And I'm here to tell somebody, no matter how it looks, you say, I don't know if I need to do this. I don't know about that vow I took. I don't know if I need to let my hair grow. Just wait till the lion roars. Let me tell you, when he roars, it's too late to make those vows. Just Jonah couldn't be here tonight, but he wanted me to tell you, don't wait until you're in the belly of hell or the well to cry unto the Lord and say, and make vows. Oh, Lord, I will go to Nineveh. Don't wait. Make the vows before the trouble comes. Keep doing what you ought to do until the lion roars. Whew. My Lord. I feel like I'm in a camp meeting tonight. You never know how much anointing or how much of God you've got. I've heard people say, I cringe when they say it. Well, I've got enough Holy Ghost to withstand that. Oh, Lord, you don't even know how much Holy Ghost you've got until the lion roars. You can tell me when it's little kitty cats that you're facing, well, I'll show them I got so much Holy Ghost. But you let that right, wrong Delilah come by, and we'll see when that lion roars, who's the kitty cat. When the lion roars, God bites. Do you hear that? The lion roars, but God bites. David said it this way, that the Lord hath taken the teeth and broken them out of the mouth of the lion. All he can do is gum it. That's all he can do. He's no bite left. Even in Hebrews, he talks about stopping the mouth of the lions. Daniel couldn't be here tonight, but he slept good all that night. The king came back and said, oh, Daniel, was your God able to deliver you? I'm telling you, God's got some strange delivery systems. He delivers you in strange ways. Sometimes it's with a slingshot and a rock. Sometimes it's with a pitcher and sometimes it's with a trumpet. And sometimes it's with marching around the wall. He's got some strange ways. And I remember in the early years of living for God, I'm telling you, them old timers would march you around the church. They'd make you go out in the rain. I believe you go out in the rain, make about three circles. The Lord will give you the Holy Ghost. And you know what? I think the act of obedience, it worked. They come in soaking wet. They were shouting the good times, you know. God's got strange delivery systems of how he delivered them out of Egypt bondage. He could have snapped his fingers and struck them all dead in Egypt and left them there. But instead he delivered them. God's got a way of delivering you. The Bible says that he knows how to deliver the righteous out of all of their troubles. He's got a delivery system for your situation tonight. It may not be the same as mine or somebody else's. We may have the same problem, but he may deliver you in a different way. My. This early demonstration of this young lion roaring against this young man Samson is a display of what will be reenacted when the real enemy roars. That was a practice to let him see that when the enemy roars, I will be with you. And every time, but the last time, which we won't talk about tonight, that the enemy roared, you will see that when they came against Samson and the enemy roared, that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him mightily. And whatever they had him tied with didn't work. Samson was so radical in his belief, in his faith. I mean, like I said, you see this man, he's all over the map. If they'd have had Ritalin there, they'd have given it to him. He was hard to control. He was being secret what he didn't tell his mom and dad and all this kind of stuff. But the Bible says they knew not that the Lord was in it. It was all part of the Lord's plan. I want to read for you a little bit of this. Judges chapter 15, verse 11. Because he was so radical that even his own people were scared of him. Because he was to be judging Judah in Israel while in bondage to the Philistines. And he's like, hey, you better cool it. You better calm down. You're going to get us all in trouble doing what you're doing. And you're supposed to be the judge and look what you're doing. And they got scared of him. So watch what they do. Then 3,000 men of Judah, his own people, went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? I know you're the judge of Judah, but don't you understand? We're in their jurisdiction. What is this that thou hast done unto us? What are you doing to us? And he said unto them, I, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. He got into this game. You do it to me, I do it to you. You do it to me, I do it to you. And they're just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. This was all God's plan. It's not right for us to do that because we're supposed to do what Brother John said, pray for our enemies and despiteful use them. And they said unto him, we have come down to bind thee. Oh, Lord, his own people are wanting to bind him that we may deliver thee into the hands of the roaring lion, the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, now he's scared of them. He said, swear unto me, guys, you know, pals, old buddies of mine, that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. Now don't just tie me up and kill me now. Y'all promised me that you're not going to do this to me. Samson was scared of his own people more than he was the enemy. I think I am too. I'm more scared of, where'd you get these scars, Jesus? In the house of my friends. I'm more scared of the enemy that's around us. Paul said he was in all kinds of perils. Perils, one of them he said, of the deep, perils of the night, perils of shipwreck, all these kind of things. But he said, perils of my own country and perils of my own brethren. Where'd you get this? House of my friends. And so Samson was scared of his own people. And they wanted to bind him. And I want to tell you tonight that the enemy will bind you any way he can, with anybody he can use, because he does not want you to be successful in what God has planned for your life. And so verse 13, and they spake unto him, saying, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand. Let them kill you. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he come unto Lehi, the Philistines roared, the Bible says shouted, against him. That lion shouldn't have roared. They just should have been better. Say, thank you very much, we appreciate you. But they shouted against him. And when they shouted against him, and when the lion roared against him, oh, he shouldn't have done that. Because what happened was that what God had placed on him, he's going to bite. If you roar against God, you just roar, and he's going to bite. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off of his hand. It came off really on its own accord. Everything was okay until the enemy roared. But when the enemy roared, it activated the power that was inside of this man. Hallelujah. And the reason some people never see the power of God, they never meet the roaring lion. Oh, I want to see the miracles. I want to see the miracles. Well, go where the lion roars. And you will find you will need God. And when you need God and you have the anointing, he will always preserve what he anoints. And when the enemy roared, Samson broke these bonds of his own brethren. All the other times, he was breaking what men put on him. Y'all are missing this. It's probably too deep for y'all, but I can relate to this. When he got ready to do the will of God, he could even break the bonds that his own brethren put on him. The first thing that you must do if you're ever going to win a fight is get rid of everything that binds you. Lay aside all the weights and the sin that does so easily beset you. We're not in a fight with our fists, but we are in a spiritual warfare. And let me tell you, you can't fight spiritual warfare with carnal things binding you. This is what I'm trying to teach you tonight. You cannot fight your spiritual warfare with carnal things binding you. You must get rid of all the things that bind you, because if you don't, they will keep you tied up and you will never be victorious. And you'll fight the enemy on so many fronts, you don't win the war. Wow. You can say tied up with so many things of the world that you never effectively live for God. And poor, I'm not against some of these things I'm fixing to tell you, but Lord, we can't be at church tonight. They have Boy Scouts here tonight. We can't be at church tonight because, you know what? It's Little League this. Oh, we can't be at church this weekend because the Lions Club.